What's going on, y'all? 97.5 The Fanatic, 727 on a Tuesday night following Sixers basketball, Sixers Suns, as we go in the post broadcasting from the Xfinity studio. Only from Comcast, Sixers fall to the Phoenix Suns this afternoon, 130-117. Hello, all. I'm Devon Givens with you until 10. Going in the post, as usual, after a Sixers game. Josh Rabick producing the show. Special thanks, as always, during the Sixers broadcast to Tom McGinnis, Brian Seltzer, Marty Dickerson, and, of course, Tyler Zuli. Josh Rabick as well on the audio highlights. Sixers fall 130-117 in game number 6. They are now 3-3 with 2 games remaining in the seeding games, with a back-to-back tomorrow where they take on the Toronto Raptors, who are also still rolling at a very good clip. The Phoenix Suns here tonight improved, this afternoon, pardon me, improved to 7-0. They need a Portland loss to keep things a little bit closer. Tough win earlier with the San Antonio Spurs, picking up a victory in a spot where many thought that the Spurs would fall to the Houston Rockets, but without James Harden and just Russell Westbrook and a few others, of course, out there for the Houston Rockets, the Spurs were able to pick up that win. So not that many people care about the Suns, but just pointing it out that they've been the story of the bubble with an undefeated record right now at 7-0, looking to go 8-0 against the Dallas Mavericks, their final game. And Dallas Mavericks are playing the Portland Trailblazers right now. So Sixers fall once again 130-117. Your takeaways from the game. We, of course, know that they were without Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons, Al Horford, Tobias Harris, Josh Richardson for this game. Rest for Richardson. Just some knee soreness for Al Horford. Ankle soreness for Tobias Harris. The rest continues for Joel Embiid after the ankle tweak that he had the other day. So they want to make sure that he gets back for the postseason for the 76ers when the actual playoffs begin for them. And we know surgery for Ben Simmons on his left knee. He is out for the remainder of the season. The Sixers again with 2 games remaining. Raptors tomorrow. Friday, the Houston Rockets, a 9 o'clock start. May mean nothing because one more Sixers loss or one more Pacers win, and that will lock the Sixers into that 6th seed where they will take on the Boston Celtics. The Indiana Pacers will then face the Miami Heat in the first round. But a nice effort by the reserves, if you will. The only starters remaining for the 76ers in this particular contest, Shake Milton. And that says something. So you're starting 5 this afternoon for the 76ers. Shake Milton, Alec Burks, Matisse Thybulle, Mike Scott, Kylo Quinn in the middle for the Sixers, who flirted with the triple-double. And if you watch, if you follow on Twitter, Derek Bodner of The Athletic, great friend, and he pointed out that he almost had a triple-double. His line, 9 points, 10 rebounds, 11 assists, in 32 minutes and 23 seconds. This would have been his first triple-double of his career. Furkan Korkmaz, at the very end of the game, had an opportunity to shoot a 3 or pass it to Kylo Quinn with the wide-open opportunity for a bucket underneath, and he opted, as a shooter does, to shoot the basketball. And Kylo Quinn missing out on his first career triple-double. I know, meaningless, all of that. But when you're a reserve player like Kylo Quinn for your entire career, 8-year career, and you have an opportunity to notch something like that, you want that chance. So I'm sure Furkan Korkmaz is getting an earful from Kylo Quinn about him missing out on that triple-double this afternoon against the Phoenix Suns. The Sixers were led by Alec Burks and his 23 points. He has scored now 20-plus points in 3 consecutive games, the first time since Thaddeus Young a few years back, while Young was still a member of the 76ers. He shot 9 of 17 from the floor, 2 of 5 from deep, 3 of 4 from the free throw line, 4 assists, 2 rebounds, in 27 minutes and 42 seconds. No turnovers. Handled the ball a lot, but those point guard responsibilities went to Shake Milton, who also had 0 turnovers as the starting point guard for the 76ers. He struggled from the field, 4 of 12 from the floor in 30 minutes and 35 seconds. Did dish out 7 assists, 2 rebounds he collected to go along with his 8 points on the afternoon. Mike Scott came in and found his rhythm, found his touch today against the Suns with 17 points in 22 minutes and 7 seconds. This has been his longest run, his more consistent run. 7 of 12 from the floor, 3 of 4 from deep. And he had it going early, 4 rebounds as well. Just looked lively. Looked like he had his legs out there on the perimeter, knocking down fadeaway jumpers. He had a nice touch from the perimeter as well, knocking down the 3 of 4 from deep. Had a few wide open opportunities, drilled them, and maybe this means something for him in the postseason, maybe not. Brett Brown said postgame that we already know who Mike Scott is. His physicality, his toughness is already undeniable, but not sure where he may fit in the playoff rotation with the normal starting five back, minus Ben Simmons. Now you look at Matisse Thybulle, right? Alec Burks stepping up during this run. You cannot keep him out of the playoff rotation now. Who else? Glenn Robinson III is back for Furkan Korkmaz. You would have to think that they would get opportunities for themselves now over Mike Scott. So it would be a situational thing for Mike Scott when the playoffs do get out there. But you cannot ignore the physicality and what he brings to the table when he is out there. Every now and then, you're going to have to lay somebody out, put them on the floor to make a playoff foul and make a statement. And Mike Scott will certainly not be afraid to do that if anyone else on this basketball team, outside of Kyle O'Quinn. But again, will he get minutes? Probably not. So that's where it's looking like right now for them. But a good game for Mike Scott all in all. Let's see if he plays some minutes tomorrow against the Raptors and certainly the finale against the Houston Rockets on Friday night starting at 9 o'clock here on 97.5 The Fanatic for both games. Matisse Thybulle got into foul trouble. Simply could not get his feet underneath him. He did play 28 minutes and 53 seconds. 3 of 4. Looked spry out there. Knocked down a 3 for Thybulle as well for 7 points, 2 rebounds, and 1 block shot. But the 5 personal fouls that you heard Tom McGinnis allude to overall in the game, he just could not get anything going both defensively and offensively. And he had a tough assignment with Devin Booker, who we'll get to. And when you have a tough assignment like that against Devin Booker, oftentimes calls are going to go against a young player like Matisse Thybulle, who is not as established, even though he has a reputation already as of being a very good defender in this league at such a young age. We're just getting in the league, but Devin Booker is an all-star, a proven scorer in this league. And he's also playing on the hottest team in the bubble, and he has scored 30-plus points pretty much every game. So I think it's like the last five. I have to check it out. But the last, where is he? I had it here. I missed it. But anyway, Devin Booker's been on fire. He's not going to get those calls. Matisse Thybulle is a young player. So with that, that's just learning, growing in the game, and continuing to establish yourself where when it all comes down to it at the end of the day, that when he does this, right, you know, going against these top players, he's going to get those calls in his favor. He's going to get those calls in his favor. So he'll be fine. This was a learning moment for him, and we'll see where it goes from here. I don't see the number for Devin Booker, but he breaks the record for most 30-point games in franchise history after knocking dropping another one here against the 76ers this afternoon. But once again, we'll get to that with his 35 points. Devin Booker to lead all scorers off the bench for the 76ers. Good run, especially for Raul Neto, who's been getting destroyed here by Sixer fans as to why he's getting minutes overall for the team. He played 25 minutes and 14 seconds. He played a good floor game, 2 turnovers, and he had 4 assists, 2 rebounds, but it was his scoring that really stood out for the veteran point guard for the 76ers. 9 of 18 from the floor. He led the team in shooting attempts with 18 field goal opportunities, attempts that he took here this afternoon against the Suns. 9 of 18, 3 of 7 from behind the 3-point line for his 22 points to headline the bench unit with his 22. So a very good game for him. Don't know what it means going forward. I doubt that it means extended playoff time for him, but a good showing for him nonetheless when the opportunity was given to him with the 25 minutes and 14 seconds, capitalizing with the run this afternoon against the Suns. 15 for Glenn Robinson III, 25 minutes and 25 seconds, 5 of 9 from the floor, 3 of 6 from deep, 2 of 3 from the free throw line, 7 boards, and 2 personal fouls, 1 turnover in his run with the 15 points. And that's something that I think is important for the 76ers as they go along with the playoffs because of the amount of wings that will be out there, especially with the Boston Celtics. When you analyze them, if the Sixers are in fact going to take on the Celtics in the first round of the playoffs, and you look at Tatum and Brown and Hayward right now on the wings, you need as many wing defenders as possible. And with him being a 3-and-D type of wing, Robinson, having the hip pointer, but able to play in these last two games, get himself going. So once they gear up for the playoffs, he's ready to go and stamping at least his number to be called in certain times, because you are going to have to defend. If Brown loses trust in Matisse Thybulle for the reasons that we just spoke of, because he gets in foul trouble, he's not going to get those rookie calls in the postseason. Maybe, just maybe, Glenn Robinson, who's been in the league for a few years, someone who, again, just being around for a while, you might get the benefit of the doubt every now and a blue moon on a call, albeit you're talking about Jason Tatum, all-star, Gordon Hayward, a former all-star, Jaylen Brown, a budding star also for the Boston Celtics, could have been an all-star as well. And even with Kemba Walker, if he gets switched out on there, you just have to simply be aware of where they are. So the more wings, the merrier defenders out there for the 76ers. A good showing for Glenn Robinson this afternoon against the Phoenix Suns, not just with his scoring, but his defensive acumen as well. Good to see that back out there for Glenn Robinson. Norvell Pell, 16 minutes and 11 seconds, backing up Kyle O'Quinn. 4 points, 5 boards, 1 assist, 2 block shots, 2 turnovers, 2 of 4 from the floor, 5 personal fouls. That's what it is for Norvell Pell a lot of times. He will bring the effort, he will bring the energy. Oftentimes he can change things and lead to igniting some fast breaks with his block shots, his attempts to block shots, where it changes the shot for the opposition, where they have to maybe adjust themselves in midair of how they want to shoot it. The next thing you know, they're going the other way with an opportunity. But he gets himself in foul trouble very, very often because he is just so energetic, so sometimes undisciplined with his leaving his feet, his hands reaching in from time to time, getting excited when he switches out on someone because he's very confident, believing that with the way he's able to move, slide his feet, move his hands, things of that nature, that if he gets caught on a guard or a wing, he believes that every time out there, if that happens, he has a chance of stopping. And that's a good mentality to have, certainly. But every now and then, again, you get your hand caught in a cookie jar and it will get you in trouble. And that's the thing. That's really it for Norvell Pell. That will be the scouting report on him, that he's very easy to bait into those type of situations where you can get him in foul trouble. And you know why Brown is bringing him in, to be that athletic big man who can run the floor, who can change those shots, who can be a recipient of lobs from his teammates. But if he is going to be in foul trouble like that, he's going to be virtually useless for him. So he wants to establish himself, now that Al Horford is starting, as possibly the first big off the bench in front of Kyle O'Quinn. But we'll see. We'll see. He has 2 more games. I think he's already had the edge on Kyle O'Quinn. I don't know what this means going forward. I have no idea. But what I do know about Brett Brown in the past, specifically with Amir Johnson in these first 2 postseason appearances in 18 and 19 for the 76ers, he trusts veterans over young players. Robinson and Thybulle are a little bit different because Thybulle has already established himself as someone with a pedigree in the NBA as a wing defender. Not the same for Norvell Pell yet. I wonder if it's a situational thing for him as well. Give me a good 3-minute spurt, Norvell. Block some shots. Run the floor. Fill the lane. Crash the glass offensively as well. And, you know, finish some offensive plays there, possibly finish those lobs as well for the 76ers. So, yeah, that's pretty much it for them tonight at this afternoon. Furkan Korkmaz, 31 minutes and 30 seconds. They have 12 points, 3 of 7 from deep, 3 of 4 from the free throw line, 3 of 11 overall. A little erratic, in my opinion, just watching him today. He was kind of all over the place. I couldn't slow down a few opportunities. He only had 1 turnover, but if you saw the game, or if not even heard the game, you might understand what I'm saying when it comes to Furkan. And having seen him before, you know what I mean. when it comes to Furkan Korkmaz. But, hey, nice bench effort. They only went nine deep. No Harris, no Horford. Right ankle soreness for Harris. Left knee soreness for Horford. The only player who was also available of the 10 active players for the 76ers was Mariel Shayok. And he did not get into the game. The game was too close. Did not feel a need to put Shayok in there in general. Sixers fall 130-117. They only had nine turnovers. So that was good. Only nine turnovers leading to 21 points for the Phoenix Suns. That's bad when you only give up nine, but you give up so many points off of turnovers. But, I mean, that's it's what it is when you're looking at an entire roster. Entire roster for a game against the Suns, who are the hottest team at 6-0, with no starters. And with all due respect to Shake Milton, if all things were equal and correct, no starters for the 76ers. So you're playing nine reserves against the hottest team in the bubble. Yeah, you turn the ball over nine times, which is good. The defense is not good. You give up 130, and you give up 21 off those turnovers. Sixers did shoot 49.5% from the field, 46 of 93, 15 of 33 from deep for 45.5%. Only got to the free throw lines 10 of 14 for 71% of those makes, of course, the percentage 71%. And you look at that outside of Burks, who's really going to get to the free throw line for the Sixers in this entire group? Shake Milton, possibly. Burks is the only one I'm really going to think of. And leading them in free throws was Furkan Korkmaz and Alec Burks. Four attempts for each, both making three of those four attempts for the 76ers. They did grab 34 boards, losing that one 44 to 34, 28 assists on 46 made baskets. Good overall, but once again, the ball has to snap and continue to move around everywhere. 46 made field goals, yes to 28, but when you don't have people at the level of Simmons, Embiid, Horford, Harris out there, the number is going to be separated so much that guys like Alec Burks are going to need multiple dribbles to do that. It's going to take away from Sis to get those buckets. So good stat lines overall for the Sixers. They shot very well, scored 117 points. Normally that's a winner for you, but not today when you have what the Suns had going for them. 130 points, and we'll get to them in a second. Points in the paint, Sixers lose that battle 66 to 54. Second chance opportunities, 19 to 10, scoring those points in favor of the Suns once again, and fast break points as well, 15 to 3, winner Suns on the afternoon. As we talked about the Phoenix Suns, the Sixers once again, five players posted in double figures, 9 points for Kyle O'Quinn, just missing a triple-double, and only needed one more point to go along with the 10 rebounds and 11 assists. So a good showing for the Sixers, a valiant effort for these guys. So when we talked about the other day against the Portland Trail Blazers, people feeling good, and basically a moral victory for them, no, this was more of a moral victory than the game the other day, because you had everyone still available. Alec Burks having a game. Tobias Harris needed to give you more. They had an opportunity to win that when they did not. This was more of a moral victory, if you will, for the reserves, giving them confidence going into the postseason when they start that up 2 games from now with 2 remaining of the seeding games overall. For the Phoenix Suns, they did post 5 in double figures as well, led by the red-hot Devin Booker. And Shams Charania put it out there earlier that the NBA will award an MVP and a first team all NBA inside the bubble for the 8 seeding games. And there are some really good people to nominate: Luka Doncic, James Harden, TJ Warren, Joel Embiid before the injury, and certainly Devin Booker, who I would have to believe is now the leader in that MVP voting, going for another 30 plus for the Phoenix Suns. He ended up with 35. I'm looking for the number. Josh, if you find the number before I do, let me know. Josh Rabick, again, producing the show here for us this evening as we go until 10 o'clock. I don't know the number right off the top of my head, but he had another 30. And, man, I can't And I knew it. I'm terrible. I'm mad at myself for not. I've seen it plenty of times, and I don't know off the top of my head what he put out there overall. 35, drop a heave for the. I know he broke the record for the Suns. He's only 23 years old at this point, but he has the record now. The Suns are 7-0. He dropped 35 on the Sixers today. Third consecutive game that he drops 35. Okay, 35. But I believe he has more 30-plus games going for him. This was his 91st career 30-point game, which makes him the tops in Suns franchise history at the age of 23, which is crazy for Devin Booker. I get on him for a lot of times not sharing the ball the way that I think he should, just because of my selfishness of watching the Suns the way I do. But, I mean, the guy can flat-out score. I wanted the Sixers to get him when he was drafted, and that would have been conveyed from the Miami Heat pick a few years ago. And he, you know, he's just amazing. He's an amazing scorer. He's fantastic. He's 23, and he did it again to the 76ers this afternoon with the 35 on 11 of 24, 11 of 12 from the free throw line, 2 of 4 from deep. He did get, he almost footed with the triple-double as well. 9 boards, 7 assists. The thing with him was, he got started slow in the first quarter. I think he put up 6, but he couldn't score from the field. He had to get to the free throw line a couple of times to get him going. And now we look at it, and it resulted in 12 free throw attempts. Matisse Thybulle, a recipient of a few of those fouls with those free throw opportunities. Scorers score. They find a way to do it. So you have 6 points in the fourth quarter. You can't get it going. You get to the free throw line. You see it go through the net a few times. Now that confidence starts to build. You know you're going to get your calls, especially when you don't have someone like Simmons or Richardson out there to defend. And as good as Thybulle has been, he's still a rookie. Devin Booker is going to get those calls. He's going to take advantage of it. 35-9-7 for him. Struggled again from the field, 11 to 24, but he found a way. He led all players in minutes today, 40 minutes and 52 seconds. He was phenomenal, leading them to a 7-0 record, 33-39 right now for the Phoenix Suns, 7-0 inside the bubble. And the Phoenix Suns are still trailing the Portland Trailblazers and the Memphis Grizzlies, who also played today. They lost to the Boston Celtics 122-107. So as it stands, the Suns, Blazers, Grizzlies, and Spurs are all tied for the 8th spot. So for me again, we're rooting for the Portland Trail Blazers to lose this game, which they are currently winning at the half over the Dallas Mavericks 66-58. And even if the Suns go 8-0 and the Blazers win one more game, at least win their next game as well, they're probably going to play that play-in game with the Memphis Grizzlies. So great job by the NBA. Who saw this coming? Memphis Grizzlies had a nice 2.5-point game lead. Not safe because the Kings, the Spurs, the Blazers, certainly the Pelicans, who has already been eliminated, they created something inside this bubble where the competition has been fantastic for all of that. Shame that they lost Jaren Jackson Jr., but when it comes down to these final two games, or one game for Phoenix, and I believe one more for the San Antonio Spurs, and the same for the Portland Trailblazers, the Grizzlies as well, they've created something really cool on the back end of the West for that final playoff spot. So nice work by them. Nice work by the Phoenix Suns too, also, and the Spurs, to make it very, very interesting. Second on the team in scoring for the Phoenix Suns, Mikal Bridges with 24 points, 33 minutes and 27 seconds, 8 of 10 from the field, 3 of 5 from deep, converting all 5 of his free throw attempts, 2 steals, 2 block shots, 1 foul, 1 assist, 2 rebounds. I'm happy, 24 points overall. So we'll just leave that there. 16 points for Ricky Rubio in his time, 28-17 out there on the floor. 8 for DeAndre Ayton with 12 boards. 6 for Cam Johnson from the field. Struggled this afternoon. Great game from their front court reserves, from Dario Šarić and Frank Kaminsky, combining for 31 points. 18 for Šarić, 13 for Kaminsky. 7 of 9 and 6 of 8 respectively, for those two players. 9 boards for Shards, 2 for Kaminsky. Kaminsky has been relatively quiet, but coming in, getting some good looks at the rim today, 12 of 19 for Frank Kaminsky off the bench. Javon Carter and Cameron Payne has been playing very, very, very well for the backcourt off the bench as well. Struggled today, 18 minutes, 47 seconds, 3 points for Carter, only 1 attempt from deep, made that one. 3 of 6, foul trouble for Cameron Payne, 7 points. But he just kept getting in foul trouble. He couldn't really get a rhythm going. 5 players in double figures. Overall, very good game by the Phoenix Suns. Only 7 turnovers for them. 44 free throws, 28 assists on 49 makes for the Phoenix Suns. 55% overall. 12 of 28 for 43% from behind the 3-point line. And 20 of 21 from the free throw line. A valiant effort by the Sixers. But the Phoenix Suns are the hottest team in the league. One more game against the Mavs. I hope they make it to the playoffs. Great game today by them, beating the Sixers, who are now 3-3 in the bubble. Game tomorrow against the Raptors, 130-117. Sixers are now 42-29 on the season. Once again, 3-3 inside the bubble. We'll continue with more of the conversation overall as we go in the post with the Sixers. 130-117, a drop to the Phoenix Suns, led by Devin Booker's 35, Mikal Bridges 24. 23 for Alec Burks for the Sixers and 22 for Raul Neto. We'll take your phone calls. What did you see today? What does it mean? Do you want them to just rest their starters and get ready for the Boston Celtics with 2 games remaining in the seeding games? Celtics in the playoffs. 610-632-0975, because as I look at it right now, that's what it's going to be. Just get ready for it, guys. We'll go in the post until 10. Josh Rabick producing. I'm Devon Givens right here at 97.5 The Fanatic.